And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the last verse, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. I am glad I'll be there. We have confidence in our Savior. The Bible says confidence and assurance. That's a wonderful thing. I am glad that God is trustworthy. We can believe His word. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless this service and ask His blessings on the preaching and the singing. Father in heaven, we're so grateful, so thankful, Lord, that You've given us a good week. What a wonderful opportunity it has been to be able to meet with You and to be able to speak with You, and Lord, to be able to intercede on behalf of others. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to speak with many people about Your great love this week. And we just are thankful and grateful for all that we have in our heart. Thank You for what our Savior Jesus has done for us. Thank You, Lord, for this place that we're able to gather together in the dry and the warm and the heat, Lord. We're thankful for fellowship and the opportunity to meet with one another. Lord, we ask tonight that Your blessings would be upon this meeting. We pray that You would meet with us. I pray You'd fill us each with Your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive. Father, I pray You'd help us to examine our hearts and our minds so that we might be able to hear Your will, Your plan for our life accomplished, Lord, tonight. Help us to yield to You. Help us to say yes to You no matter what You might ask of us. Lord, we pray that You would guide and direct us through every part of this service. We thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm excited about many things up and coming. I want to make an announcement. We're going to have a business meeting Sunday evening, and that may perk your ears up real quick, and a little quick to have a business meeting. I want to tell you about it. I guess it was just over or just right at a year ago, we were looking diligently for a church bus, and I had a checklist to go by of many things that I was looking for. I drove a school bus for 23 years, and I've owned buses myself, and we've purchased buses, we've given buses away, and been in the bus ministry since I was 15. And there are certain things that you get very specific about, especially in the mountain state, of what kind of bus that you're looking for. One of those things is what engine it has, and there's certain engines that are out there and that are available, and they're just no good. And then the second thing that you look at is the transmission, and you want to get the right engine paired with the right transmission. And then in West Virginia, especially southern West Virginia, the type of buses that have the right engine and the right transmission often don't have the right braking system. And I certainly favor, and air brakes are the most important of all those. So what I'm saying is I went through all these boxes and checked them all off. However, when we picked this bus up, there was one box that was not on the list that I never would have imagined that was a need or a problem, and that was ground clearance. The bus that we purchased, we can't get it around safely, at least, in where we're ministering to our church families and that type of thing. It drags so easily. As a matter of fact, we had one little situation where we were off the road and just where normally nothing would drag, and we did some body damage on it, that type of thing. And Pastor and I spoke with this. I guess it was about maybe October or so. We had a church that was interested in it. And at the same time they came and drove it and looked at it and that type of thing. At the same time, they had some building damage, storm damage to their roof, and they backed out on it. Well, they contacted me again, and they said, we need a bus, and we need it quick. We need it bad. And I spoke with the men Sunday night, and several men of the church I spoke with, and they were unanimous that if we were able to sell this bus and get our money back, it would be in our best interest. We've just simply not been able to utilize it. This church needs it. It's Cranberry Baptist Church over in Beckley. And they actually had a meeting last night. All of their trustee board met, and they voted unanimously. If our church would sell it, they would buy it. And we have the opportunity to sell it for $50,000. That's $6,000 less than what we paid for it. That would reflect the body damage that we did on it, as well as we allowed the weather to get to the faucet, and we winterized it, but we were just a minute late. You remember that cold snap that we had in October? Well, it got the faucet, so that's going to have to be replaced, and we were able to put some miles on it. We used it a few times. We used it in the bus ministry several times, so we're getting most of our money back out of the bus. So I'm going to ask the church to vote on that Sunday evening, because that window is open. And if we're able to sell that, I feel like the Lord would be able to allow us to use that money in other areas that would be very, very critical and very helpful to us to grow as here in our church. With that being said, Pastor has cleared his office out, and he's taken most of his stuff out now. Not everything. There's still some things that need to be taken out, but the office has been cleared. And I also spoke with the men about the opportunity of using his office as a Sunday school room. The teen boys and the fifth and sixth grade boys have been meeting in the same room, and it's a very small room where Brother Hoppy meets at, and it's just not large enough to contain them. They had a total of 15, counting the teachers last Sunday, or I should say Sunday before last now, and they need a bigger room to meet in. And what I would like to do is, there was some rain damage, some flood damage that took place in Pastor's office, and you're welcome to see that. But it damaged some of the sheetrock, and the carpet is real old and dingy and nasty. It's dark in there, and it just needs some updates. We want to put some nicer ceiling in, nicer lights, new carpet for the kids, and then it would also help us to utilize his bathroom. And instead of having a shower and a toilet, we would like to upgrade that to two toilets and make them toddler size. The little guys are the ones that occupy that bathroom downstairs more than anyone. And we'd like to make it in such a way that they have their own bathroom, and that would literally give us two additional bathrooms and free up the bathrooms that are used there at the bottom of the steps quite frequently. So with that being said, I want to encourage you, if you'd like to give to our building fund. We've always had a building fund. We actually have some money in our building fund. But if on the back of the envelopes there in on the pew, there's a place that's marked building fund. If you'd like to give toward that, donate towards our building fund, that money will start being funneled that way to replace the carpet and that type of thing. We'll paint it, make it look really nice, and it'll smell good and look good, and the children will like it. Well, with that being said, let me ask the ushers to come. If you have any questions, you feel free to see me or call me, text me at any time, and I'd be happy to help you to the best of my ability. I just about got myself in trouble today. Brother Shane, have you ever taken a verse out of context? I think I did that this morning. And, you know, Alina, she's been fixing this sourdough bread, and I found out that, Brother Dave, sourdough bread is not as bad for you as regular bread, and it's better. And in the course of my reading and studying, I see you back there smiling, Brother Sean. I come across this verse. You might want to mark it, but I don't think it's in context, but I shared this with Alina and the whole family, really, and put her on the spot. Alina, please read Ezekiel 44 and verse 30. And it says this, "And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and of every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thy house." I'm not sure that's exactly what that meant, but, you know, I used it, and I don't know if we'll see any more of that bread or no, but we tried.
I'm thankful for the Lord's blessings, and I'm thankful for his goodness. Let's pray and ask the blessing on the offering. Caleb, would you pray for us, please?
Well, our church family has been praying for some time now for Sandy and Michael. Sandy is still recovering at home, and I want you to continue to pray for Sandy and Michael. I also want you to continue to pray for Miss Sarah Hamm. She'll be coming home on Friday. She's being released from rehab in Charleston, and she'll be heading home, and this will be a challenge for her. And I want you to pray that the Lord will be a blessing to her, but also our church be a blessing to her. And we want to be an encouragement, so please let her know that you're praying for her. She's happy to receive text messages if you'd like to text her, and that would be a blessing. I also want you to pray for Dean and Miss Brenda. They're not feeling well this evening. They're sick, and they called and said they wouldn't be able to make it. And I'm sure that others are out tonight not feeling well. I also want you to pray for Ricky. Ricky has some tests tomorrow on his shoulder, so let's pray that God would work there. And he has a special unspoken request as well. I want you to pray that God would work in the life and in the heart of our church as I am trying, and I want to do his will. I want to do what is right before the Lord. I've had the privilege of being able to visit every day this week except today. Today's the only day I didn't go out and visit. And if I want to encourage you, if you would like to visit with me sometime throughout the week, if you'd like to go see someone or a family, a friend, or someone that you feel like is lost, I want you to do that. I was able to pray with some people today over the phone that are in desperate need. There is a friend of mine that reached out to me, has found out that his daughter has cancer, as well as I just felt like he's this close. Colton, reminds me of the message that you preached last time you were here. Just this close, almost persuaded to be a Christian. And Caleb and I know him well, and he needs to trust the Lord as a Savior, and he knows that. But do pray that God would bless as we visit throughout the week. Saturday is our bus visitation, and I pray that God would use that as well. Who else has a special request tonight? Sarah? Yes. I'm glad you said that. Brother Pete had knee surgery, and he's recovering from that at home. Did you have something else? Would you repeat his name? Yes, Donnie Cole. Lonnie. All right, very good, thank you. Yeah, I have his name written down. Not doing well. Okay, I saw another hand. Brother Jim? Okay. Who else has an unspoken tonight? All right, several. Brother Tom? Okay. Christy? Okay, Mr. Branch, let's pray for him. Dwayne?
My cousin's sharing some requests with me. Through the lake, well, one lady she worked with, Angie Christ, she has cancer, and she's starting 3 days of chemo tomorrow. I believe it's about the way the world is over. Mildred Mountain has cancer, she's not well.
Pray for these special requests. And again, let me encourage you to write these down, these requests, and put them in the offering plate with those blue cards. And that'll help me so I can repeat these names and get them right. And plus, I'll have the spelling right. That'll be a tremendous help to me. Yes. And Emma. Very good. Here's what I pray. I pray for Emma and Lulu at the same time that they'd have a testimony for the Lord there at Marshall. God would use them, Dakota and Nicole and Patrick. Someone else? Yes, Trish. Rick and Teresa Lilly. All right. Brother Shane? I spoke with him Sunday, and he was not feeling well, but I did not hear anything about surgery. And it's very possible. It would be easy for me to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt it. Anybody else know about Donnie? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll check on that. No, I'm glad you mentioned it. I'll make sure to check on it. Someone else? All right. I've asked Colton to give us an update. Colton spent some time in Canada. And Colton, I want you to tell us a little bit about your journey and tell us what the Lord did in your heart while you were there, and tell us a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish. And we're very thankful that we support you as a missionary. I'm going to ask Colton to pray for us after he's finished giving his presentation, but we're praying for our missionaries. In the United States, we support Don Chitty and Michael Blake, Gary Mann, Jason Severs, Mike Ferris, Ben Mayo, FBN Radio, Ms. Tracy Harjo, Jeremy Rowland, the Joseph Academy, Alan Davis, Bobby Goins, Tim Cart, David Roth, John Bates. Our foreign missionaries are Courtney Godso, James Griggers, Arthur Harris, George Milgram, Joe Wynn, Gardner Gentry. We have 20 national pastors in Malawi, 5 international pastors, I think that's in India, Chad Inman, I.E. Avajon, P.D. Cherian, Alex Buford, James Baxter, Gage Gilbert, Bob DeWitt, John Summers, and Stephen Sandella. And then we have with us tonight Colton Davis. I'm glad the Lord protected you while you were traveling, and there were prayers that went up for you, and we're glad you're home safe. Give us that report and pray for us, okay, brother?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to say thank you to all of you guys. I would not have gotten there to Vancouver or back without your guys' prayers. The way back, I ran into some snow in Wyoming, and it was not just some snow. We had 40-mile-an-hour crosswinds coming across the highways. They had semi-trucks pulled over. I was out trying to outrun it on the way. I stopped to sleep in a hotel. I drove 21 hours the first day, and then I couldn't go anymore. So I stopped and slept. And when I woke up the next day, I had overslept. And I looked outside, and there was like 6 inches of snow on the ground. And I'm already driving a little car. So I was like, oh, great. Lord, help me. And I knew you guys were praying for me in several other churches. So I just went out and took off driving, drove very slowly. And we made it. Thank the Lord for that. But so last time I came, I said that I was going to Vancouver. I shared with you some of that. I also told you that I was going to Ontario. Well, God has changed some plans. The trip to Ontario has fallen through, but it seems like God has opened another door for me to return to Canada. The pastor that I went to help in Vancouver, he needs a lot of help. I don't know if I told you this last time, but he had brain cancer. And through some complications to that, it's gone away, but he's lost a lot of mobility. He's had another problem, and it affected his lower leg. So he's still using a walker, still using a cane. He has slightly more mobility than he used to, but he still struggles. And so while I'm there, I'm basically his feet, and I do whatever he needs to do in hands that he can't do while he's there. And so he has offered me a staff position at his church if I can get there, get back. It pays, but it's very, very small. And so obviously I have to raise the rest of the support to be able to live there. Vancouver is the most expensive city to live in Western Canada. And so I have to make up the difference with my support, but he said that they will pay me a very, very small amount for that. And so right now that is the plan. Because I will be working for them, I was wanting Temple Baptist Church to send me out, but we've talked it over with Pastor Moreland and Brother Turner, and we think it's best if I move my membership to Anchor Baptist Church there in British Columbia, and that will be my home church as I work there on staff for Pastor Turner, Pastor Ben Turner. I apologize tonight. I was going to bring my display, but this was a very, very last-minute trip. As of yesterday, I didn't even know if I was coming or not, and so I kind of left that on accident. I do apologize, but thank you all for your prayers very, very much. In March, I will be headed back up to Vancouver, and I will be with Pastor Turner. So if I could give you guys some prayer requests to pray about, first of all, I need a one-year religious workers visa to get back into the country officially. So if you guys would pray for me, pray that paperwork would go through. I can start my permanent residency after I get the paperwork for the one-year religious workers visa. So pray that I can get the right paperwork together to get the visa so that I can then renew my permanent residency. It should be a little bit easier for me because I already had it, and I do have a history of being in Canada. So there are a few perks, but just pray for that. Pray that God would also provide the rest of the support. Right now we're about at 50 to 55% of what I need to go back. So in the next 3 months, I'm going to be very, very busy. I'm going to be calling pastors and texting and knocking down church doors as best as I can to try to get the people to support me and try to get prayers and anything and everything that I can possibly get to be able to go back. And I promise God, even if I don't make, I have a specific amount, but I promise God, even if I don't make the amount, that I'll go back and I'll trust him for the rest. I've been able to see as I grew up on the mission field and as I went through Bible college, God do amazing things. And I know that if you're in his will, he will provide. And as of right now, I am 100% for sure God has shown me very, very clearly that I'm supposed to be in Western Canada and that I'm supposed to be helping Pastor Ben Turner. So thank you for your prayers. I know last time I was here, you know, some things were a little sketchy. I didn't quite know, you know, what was going to happen, what church was going to send me out. I had a few ideas, but God has definitely led very clearly in the last 5-6 months since I've been gone. And so if you would continue to pray for the paperwork, pray for finances for me, and just pray that God gives me wisdom. Obviously, in the next few months, there's some very big steps that I need to take. And if I don't take them right, obviously, if I don't get paperwork filed in the right way and certain things, I could get repercussions back from that. But if you would pray for that. Also, pray for the people at Anchor Baptist Church where I'll be serving. It's a very, very diverse church. Vancouver is a very diverse city. Very many cultures. They all of Asia practically comes to Vancouver to work. And they stop right there on the ocean, and they just stop right in the city. And there's whole sections of the city where nothing but Chinese or Korean or Japanese is spoken. Matter of fact, if you go downtown, they don't even have English on the stop signs. They're Chinese characters on all the buildings, on all the billboards, on all the stop signs. Because there's that many Asians that are over there right now. In Anchor Baptist Church, there are, I believe, 15 to 16 different nationalities. There's 15 to 16 different languages spoken, and there's over 20 different nationalities that are represented in that church. They have a Farsi ministry, deals specifically with people from the Middle East, and that's a whole separate entity within the church. They have a Farsi pastor, and he does complete meetings on Sunday afternoon where the singing, the preaching, the praying, the whole thing is done in their native language. And it's also done through Zoom. So even over in Iraq, Kuwait, in all those places, that there's still people who can log on to this Zoom, and even though they can't attend a physical church, that they can still watch church and be with church, and people are getting saved through that. We had probably 2 or 3 people a month getting saved through that Zoom meeting and continuing. They keep in contact with them. They send them, you know, texts and stuff daily, and they consistently log on. They have 3 meetings a week, so pray for the new believers there. And also pray for a Spanish ministry. They're starting up a Spanish ministry there at Anchor Baptist Church. We did not know it, but Vancouver has a large Spanish population. So if you would pray for that as well. It's just getting going, just kicking off, and I wish I'd learned a little more Spanish instead of going with French in high school, but hopefully I'll be able to learn, and I think I'll probably be helping that as well. So just pray for me and pray that God would do what he deems best. You know, it's funny. We can lay out our plans, and we can lay out what we think is going to happen and what we think we need, but at the end, God is the one that directs our steps and directs our paths. And we may think we have it planned out, but God really knows what's going on. So pray that he would teach me just to trust him, and I know the way will be up and down and side to side, but just keep putting one step in front of another and keep trusting him daily. Oh, thank you guys for your prayers and your support. It really means a ton to me. Thank you for how you've just taken me and my family in. Every time I come back, it feels very, very much like coming home, and I appreciate that very, very much. Let's pray, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, and we thank you. We thank you that you've rent the veil in two, Lord, and that we can come before you and we can pray. We thank you for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. Lord, when we were unlovely, you loved us. Lord, when we were sinners, you still came and you died for us. And Lord, even still, though we do not live perfect lives, and Lord, though we have mistakes and sins which so easily beset us, Lord, you still pick us up and you brush us off and you carry us through. And you sit us back on our feet time and time again when we fall. Lord, you say in your word that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your love. God, teach us to love you more. Lord, you gave your life for us. Is it such a small thing that we give ours back to you? And Lord, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be surrendered. Lord, even a cracked vessel can take water to a thirsty soul if it's clean. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be clean. Lord, we would purify our hearts and our minds. Lord, we would not be conformed to this world, but transformed through you. Lord, I pray for these many, many prayer requests, Lord, the many physical needs. Lord, I do not know all these individuals, but Lord, you do. Lord, it says in your word, you are the great physician, and you can heal and you can touch. Lord, I firmly believe that. Lord, the few that are mentioned, Lord, I think of Mrs. Cochran. And Lord, Brother Dean and Miss Brenda. I think of Donnie Hunter and Mildred Malcolm. I think of my grandfather, Lord. Lord, the several, many, many other names that are on this list. Lord, touch each and every one of these individuals. Lord, may you, if it be your will, Lord, heal them. And Lord, if not, may you receive more glory in your will than you would, Lord, in their healing. Lord, I pray for the salvation of souls. Lord, I think of the young gas station attendant, Lord, I talked to just not even an hour ago. Lord, speak to Ricky. Lord, help him to read the gospel tract that I gave him. Lord, I pray for Patrick and Cody. Lord, I pray for this gentleman that Brother Fred knows needs to be saved. Forget his name, Lord, but you know exactly who he is. Touch his heart right now. Oh, so many, many other, Lord, Will Thornton and Brianna Jackson. Or I could go down this list. Lord, I pray that you would speak to every individual on this list right now, Lord. Lord, make them give a little thought to eternity, a little thought to the fact that they do not know when they will die. But Lord, help them realize that there is a God that loves them. And Lord, help them to seek for the truth. Lord, thank you for this church and their support of so many missionaries, myself included. Lord, I speak as a missionary, though I don't see myself as one necessarily, but Lord, we can't do what we need to do if there's not people holding the rope on the other end. It makes me think, Lord, when Paul was let down in the basket, Somebody had to hold the rope to let him down. And Lord, there is a church full of believers here that's holding the rope for all these missionaries, Lord, for myself included. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, the prayers, financial support, the encouragements, the texts, the emails, Lord, they mean so much. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for, again, that you died to save us. Lord, may it never grow old. Lord, may we forever realize that we owe our lives to you. For without you, Lord, we would be nothing. Lord, bless this church. Bless Pastor Hart. In this new year, Lord, may you grow them not only numerically or financially, but Lord, also spiritually. Lord, may you make us a people of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray all of this. And amen.
Let's all stand together and turn to page 63. Page number 63. What a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Let's all shake hands.
That scarlet thread all the way from the book of Genesis to Bethlehem. This is honestly a Christmas message that I was not able to finish, but it's leading to Bethlehem. I'm thankful that God, once he promises something, he keeps his word. I'll remind you, we began in the book of Luke, chapter 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord Jesus Christ taught them, he shared with them how that the entire Old Testament spoke of him. And then in the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 39, that we have the instruction to search the scriptures because they testify of Christ. Now we've done a very quick survey of the Old Testament, and that's basically what we're doing, is looking through book by book in the Old Testament, seeing that scarlet thread in and out, wove through the pages of the Word of God. Now, when we get to these next few books, you'll see that he's a little harder to see. And instead of seeing directly the person of Jesus Christ, you will see a principle. And I hope to make those very clear so that you can understand them, and hopefully they'll be a blessing to you and encouragement. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we'll begin tonight. And this is a very special verse, and I hope that you'll rejoice in it tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's begin in verse 13. The Bible says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil." And then I want you to be very careful to mark these next two words, "and anointed," especially the word "anointed," "him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." So we find that King David is now the anointed king over Israel, even though Saul is still on the throne, even though he is still ruling and reigning and would for several more years. As a matter of fact, David was anointed three times before he actually became king of Israel. It was almost a 30-year window of time that passed from the first time that he was anointed till he actually was sitting on the throne of God. And you know, God does not work on our time frame. If you are thinking, boy, why can't this just happen? It doesn't work that way with God. God works on his own time frame, and it's always in our best interest. And we have to trust the Lord with that. Over and over again, you'll see that principle in the scripture. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the lesson, and we'll move forward. Father in heaven, I do ask, God, that you would bless us tonight as we study your word. Help us to see our Savior. Oh, Lord, what a need in our generation to see Jesus Christ. Lord, so many know so little about such a wonderful Savior, and it saddens my heart to think about even those that call themselves Christians, even those that are faithful to church, Lord, that know so little about who you are and what you've done. And Lord, I ask and I lift up my voice and I ask God for your forgiveness for not knowing you the way that I should. Lord, you have been so good to me and so gracious to me, and I cry out tonight, oh, what a Savior. Lord, what I do know about you has been just wonderful. And Lord, what I do know about you has strengthened me and helped me, and God has given me peace and joy. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to know more and more about you as the days of my life pass. God, keep revealing yourself to me. And Lord, to this church, may we make much of who you are. I ask and pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was asked to sign someone's Bible, and I signed my life verse. And I was going to do that this past Sunday, but I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Philippians. And I want to show you what I'm trying to accomplish in this series of messages and the book of Philippians. And I'm going to share with you my life verse. Pastor's verse was 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, and many of you knew that. And I hope that you'll underline this verse, and I hope that what you'll do is put my name there and say, this is Fred's, Brother Fred's, Pastor's, whatever you want to call me there. Put that by verse 20 and mark it that this is my life verse, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation. So this is the highest level of expectation, my earnest expectation. And then he says, and my hope. So I earnestly expect, and this is what I hope. What would it be? That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. So he asked, and his earnest expectation and his hope was that he would not be ashamed, but in addition to that, that he would have the boldness of God. As always, so now also, look what the scripture says. Christ shall be magnified in my body. What does the word magnify mean? If you have a magnifying glass and you put it on the letters of your Bible, it makes it big so that you can see it. And that's ultimately what I'm trying to accomplish with this series of lessons. I'm trying to make Christ big. He's the answer. He's what we need to see. I went down into Brother Dave's Sunday school class this week, and I pried off the old pulpit, this plaque, and I put it back. I've got two pieces of double-sided tape under it, and it's from the verse that a pastor gave me in this new Bible. He signed it here in the front, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And it's a reminder to me that this pulpit is not to promote anything or anyone other than our Savior, Jesus Christ. "Sir, we would see Jesus." If you will, turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I want to get right back on track. Of course, this is my goal, First Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. And then Paul finishes it by saying, whether it be by life or by death. What a complex, what a deep verse that he gives us as we look at that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. First Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, I had you to mark the word anointed. And I hope that you've saved room somewhere there in your notes. And the reason why I have you to mark the word anointed is because that is the definition of the word Messiah. If you were to ask me, Brother Fred, help me understand what does the name or what does the word Messiah mean? I would tell you that that is the anointed one. And of course, we see Jesus Christ in David because that is where his covenant was. That's where his promise was located, in King David. And then it goes a step further here and we see Christ because he is the anointed one. I hope you've marked that and tied to the other references that I've given you. What God is doing is he is establishing a pattern now through King David, and this pattern will last through the next several verses all the way, as a matter of fact, into the New Testament book of Matthew. Maybe you might jot this thought down, that this book contrasts man's king, of course, which would be Saul, with God's king, which would be David. And it's a good lesson for us to be reminded that God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks on the inside. God's interested in who we are in our heart. And it also reminds us that who David was in his heart. David was a shepherd in his heart. That's who he was first and foremost. Later on, he became a king. But who David really was, he was a shepherd of God's flock. And of course, you'll see that this messianic line extends all the way into the New Testament book of Matthew, where you find it finishing in Bethlehem. Now turn with me to 2 Samuel, and we'll look there. 2 Samuel chapter 7 tonight. I'll read to you just a few verses here. We'll move quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 12. I have all of these marked in my Bible, and I have all of them tied together, because these are not the only verses that point out Jesus Christ, but some of the clearest verses that show us Christ. And again, in these particular books in the Bible, there are not many of them that say, hey, or, you know, they point out to us this is speaking directly about Christ. It has more to do with a principle. And the principle that we find in 1 Samuel is that he is the anointed one. He's the Messiah would come through David, the anointed one. In 2 Samuel, there's another theme that points to our Savior, and that there is an everlasting covenant that is established. Many of you will remember last year I worked very diligently on a series of lessons called The Curse of Jeconiah. And I don't want to get into that any at all. But one thing that was so important when we looked at how God worked through the lineage of David, that he used Nathan. That was Bathsheba's son that was hidden or tucked away, literally hid from Satan himself, because everyone would assume that the Lord Jesus Christ would come through the loins of Solomon, but it did not happen that way. Through a son that most would not even understand or knew that existed, David had a son by the name of Nathan. And Luke makes that clear in chapter 3 that that is who the bloodline was passed through, Nathan. But the point that I want to try to make here is that there is a covenant that is established. It is an everlasting covenant, and that's what we see in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, the Bible says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." Now this is, of course, not only David, but also Solomon. "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Notice verse 13. This is so important. I hope you'll mark it in your Bible. "He shall build an house for my name." This is God promising David that Solomon would build this house. And notice what it says, "And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Forever. Forever the throne was established through David's seed. And we're thankful for this Old Testament prophecy, this Old Testament promise. And I hope that you'll jot down this thought. All the future promises about this Davidic covenant rest on this promise, and you'll see it repeated in the Psalms. We're not going to take time to go there, but this was repeated in the Psalms as well. I have just a few things I want to highlight, and I wanted to move as quickly as I can, but as you look through these books in the Old Testament, you would think that there would be certain things that would cancel it. I'm rereading through the book of Genesis. I'm now in Exodus chapter 11. I'll start in the morning in Exodus chapter 11. But as I look at Judah, wow, I would think that, boy, because Judah was so wicked that God would cancel using Judah as being the lion of the tribe of Judah, that God's seed would pass through Judah. I don't even want to begin to reflect to you what wickedness was involved there in Judah's life, and it just disturbs my mind, the sin that he committed. But I want you to see that even sin, not only here in 2 Samuel, but throughout the scripture, does not cancel God's covenant. When God makes a promise, that promise prevails over our mistakes and failures. That promise prevails over our sinful mistakes. And boy, I rejoice to know that, because I fail the Lord so often and I make so many mistakes. And I look back on my life and I think, boy, oh boy, if God canceled his promise because of sin, dear friend, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? Sure we would, but God doesn't do that. And just a simple thought there. Let's move on. And again, God does not break this covenant with David and his genealogy. Look with me now in the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8. And I hope you'll again tie these together. 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. And you have something very, very beautiful in the book of 1 Kings. Now, we read just a little bit about it in our last chapter. God makes a promise to David that he would allow a temple to be built so that he might dwell on the earth. Remember, he did it in the Old Testament tabernacle, right? And we'll look at the temple not just one time, but two different times. And when you look at 1 Kings, and as you read through it, the emphasis here is that the glory of Jesus Christ is foreshadowed in the temple. You say, Brother Fred, can you see Jesus in 1 Kings? Yes, if you look at the temple. Remember, in the Old Testament tabernacle, everything pointed to Christ. Now, when we're looking or examining the Old Testament temple, the glory of the temple was way more glorious than the Old Testament tabernacle, all the gold and all the different fine things that David had prepared, all the wood, and it's just an amazing building. You say, Brother Fred, how do you see the, Christ in that? Because the glory of the temple foreshadowed the person of Jesus Christ. Let's read together. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Notice verse 11. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For, and I hope that you'll mark this, the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. You say, Brother Fred, that doesn't sound very much like Jesus. Let me help you. Would you turn with me back over to a verse we've been looking at over in the book of John, John chapter 1, and I hope you'll tie that to 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 11. I want you to see Christ again. We've read this verse several times here recently, but I want you to see the beginning part of the verse this time. We've been emphasizing that Jesus was full of grace and truth, but look at the beginning part of the verse. John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now look at what's in the brackets. Look what is here, what the Word of God has for us. The Bible says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So tie the glory of Jesus Christ that was foreshadowed to us and for us in the Old Testament temple. What a beautiful sight. So now what Israel's doing is not only anticipating a Messiah, which was wonderful, a redeemer, a deliverer, but in addition to that, and this is what we should look forward to, this is what should motivate us, this is what should get our engines fired up, this is what should help us as a believer, they also anticipated His glory. You know what we miss? We miss the fact of how glorious our Savior is. Do you know, if we could just get a glimpse of His glory, it'd change everything about us. You know, our countenance would change. Our hearts would change. You know, God would do something special deep down inside of us if we could see the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened with the nation of Israel. They began to anticipate the temple being filled with the presence of God and that glory that was foreshadowed, which was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's so many things I want to share with you, but turn with me to chapter 9 and then we'll move forward and I will we'll just be real brief here. Before we do that, look in verse 26, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, "And now, O Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest or spakest unto thy servant David, my father." And we're in 1 Kings chapter 8, now verse 27. And I want you to look at this. "But will God indeed dwell on the earth?" Look at that question. "Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." They already realized there's a problem. The Old Testament temple couldn't hold the glory of God. And again, that is a beautiful reflection that Christ will come. Now turn with me to chapter 9 and verse 6. Chapter 9 and verse 6. And notice what will happen. The Bible says, "But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them," notice what happens in verse 7. "Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people." Now that leads us to 2 Kings, because I want you to see what has happened here. In 1 Kings, he is telling us that the temple is not sufficient. Even though it was beautiful, it was full of splendor, it was a place that was so delightful to look upon, but it was yet disappointing. Why would it be disappointing? Because when man turned his back on God, when the children of Israel sinned against the Lord, God made a promise and the temple had to be overthrown. You say, "Brother Fred, what is glorious about that?" It shows us that the temple is not sufficient. We need something greater. Do you see how that points to Christ? Do you see the tie that I'm trying to make there? What I'm trying to show you is that 1 Kings taught the children of Israel, and 1 Kings teaches us, yes, you can look at the beauty of the Old Testament temple, but at the same time, you would have to say that it's not sufficient. We still need a Savior. Amen? That the temple, even though as beautiful as it was, and the Shekinah glory of God did fall, it's still not sufficient. We still need a Savior. We still need Jesus. That's what 1 Kings teaches us. Now, what does 2 Kings teach us? Look with me at 2 Kings. And I want you to look with me at chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter 17. And again, I'm still trying to get this Bible broke in and the pages turning. I've got this verse marked in my Bible, 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 13. It's almost disappointing to see what takes place. You say, "Brother Fred, can you see Christ here?" I can see more than anything the need for Christ. I can see the absolute necessity of a Messiah that would work. The Bible says in 2 Kings 17, verse 13, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I command your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." So here's what I want you to see is happening. David has passed off the scene. Solomon has passed off the scene. There have been many, many kings that have come and gone. There have been many kings that have sat on the throne of Israel. And they have one common problem. That one common problem is they have a sin problem. And every time that someone is established on the throne of David, they fall. What does that teach us? It teaches us this verse, verse 13, collapse will take place without a redeemer. They did not have a redeemer. 2 Kings, all the kings, none of them were better off than you or I. We have a redeemer. They did not. And what that shows us in 2 Kings is this: the temple won't work. It is no substitute for the redeemer. And even the best of the best kings is still not sufficient. They needed a redeemer. And God promised that he would do just that. I have so many things, so many notes I'd like to share with you, but I'm already out of time for tonight. I don't want to rush this, but I don't want to take so long that it takes me half the year to get through just a brief survey of these books of the Bible. But would you write down just a few words that will help you to understand the despair, the discouragement of the nation of Israel at this time? When you get to 2 Kings chapter 17, where we've just read, I want you to understand that they were already placed out of their land. You'll have, this is about the time of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Follow me. They have no land. Think about how discouraging if your property was taken. They have no king. The temple has already been taken down. They are no longer identified as the nation of Israel. And what does that teach us? The collapse of the kingship teaches us one primary thing. Stop looking for salvation in a man. Stop looking for salvation in a king. As hard-headed as the nation of Israel was, God had to pound it in their mind. God had to pound it in their heart that there is no hope in the promised land. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the victory that God gives. There's no hope in a man ordained or established king. There's no hope in any of those things. The only hope is in the Messiah or the Savior that has been promised and that is coming. Let's do one more tonight and we'll be finished. First Chronicles, if you'll turn with me to First Chronicles chapter 17, and we're just breezing through the scripture. I would have loved to have been on the road to Emmaus as the Lord Jesus Christ walked through the pages of the eternal Word of God and shared with those disciples on the road to Emmaus the same things that I'm sharing with you. Hey, look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 11. It's testifying of me. It's teaching of me. The Bible says that it shall come to pass when thy days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Now I want to remind you that 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, they overlap each other and sometimes they repeat each other. It is a historical record of the life of David and Solomon and the kings of Israel. And as you read through these six books in the Bible, they give us the full perspective of God, of what God wants us to see about this everlasting covenant, the temple that Solomon built, as well as the covenant that God made with David. Now in 1 Chronicles, the main thing that I want you to see is this, is that this royal line that is headed all the way to the book of Matthew is being preserved. And I want you to see that Jesus is going to be the only king that will reign and rule forever. In spite of the wicked kings, in spite of no kings, in spite of the throne being lost, in spite of them losing their independence, in spite of the fact that the glory of God is gone, everything is changing. Everything is unstable except God's promises. There is nothing that they could, that was tangible, that they could put their hands or their feet on. There was nothing that they could reach and grasp and hold that was of any value at all except the promises of God. Now here's what I'd like you to do. I want to conclude with this thought. We're heading from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 all the way to Bethlehem. We're on our way. We're in 1 Chronicles. Before we close tonight, I know that many of you may be like myself. And as you get to the genealogies, you struggle so difficult, it's just such a difficult thing to read those names that it might be that you just pronounce the first part of the name or even the first letter, or maybe you just try to sound it out. I have been using Scroggy to listen over and over again how they're repeated. I don't know what you do. Maybe you can pronounce them perfectly. I can't. Okay? But it might be that somewhere in your mind, this is what you're thinking. Boy, oh boy, why did God include these in His Word? Are these just fillers? May I say it this way? There are no fillers in the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, everything that you will read in the Word of God is profitable. It has much value for the believer. Now, here's what I want to say, and this is my concluding statement. This is all I want to wrap up with this thought, but I don't want you to lose it. I hope that you'll take this with you for the rest of your life. If it weren't for what I call, and they're not, and Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't even think this way. I'm going to say it because I've already thought it. These endless genealogies in the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, these just like, they never stop. If it weren't for these genealogies, I want you to understand that we would never have a Messiah in Matthew chapter 1. If it weren't for God faithfully preserving this line of men, then we'd not have a Redeemer in the book of Matthew. I hope that as you read through these genealogies, that that gives you a level of respect or a level of appreciation for what God has done, because that's exactly what He's doing. The royal line of David is being preserved. So when you read through those names you can't pronounce, when you get to that list of names that you think, who in the world is this guy? Then think to yourself, God is line upon line, precept upon precept, faithfully preserving His promised Messiah. Let's stand together, and I'll give a brief invitation tonight. It might be, and this is the way I'll extend the invitation, it might be that you don't see the Lord the way that He would intend for you to see Him. It might be that the Lord Jesus Christ is not as big or not as magnified in your life as He should be. The entire point of this continual lesson is this: we need to see Jesus. I need to see Christ. I need to see how faithful He is. It might be tonight that you'd say, Brother Fred, boy, oh boy, I need to see Jesus. He'll fix all your problems. He'll help you deal with each one of them. He may not take them away, but He'll help you bear the burden. He'll help you make it through every storm. Oh, if God would just help us see Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, tonight that You'd help us to seek You. And I pray You'd help us to see our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I ask all this now in Christ's name. What page, Brother David? Let's sing together, page 10. If God spoke to your heart tonight, would you come? Amen. Amen. It's been good to be in this church assembly tonight. I'm thankful that you assembled together to remember the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful He died for me, aren't you? Brother Dave, would you come and dismiss us in prayer, please? If you have any questions about the bus or anything that I mentioned, you feel free to contact me, ask me anything that any way I can help you. I'm happy to do that.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for all Your blessings. Lord, thank You for that scarlet thread once again. Lord, we can see all through Your Word, dear God. Lord, I thank You so much for that blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord. Lord, that we could be redeemed and justified, dear Lord. Lord, set free from our sin. God, I pray that you'd bring us back to your house again the next appointed time. Dear Lord, Lord, help us to try to bring somebody with us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, let's pray for our church, dear Heavenly Father. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.